chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursue.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio once again with your host, Nick Burnaby here with UCY.TV. Make sure you guys check out my site, theantimedia.org. We're having a bit of problems here with Skype for whatever reason, but once we get it figured out, we'll be joined by my co-host, DB Schwartz. Hey guys, sorry, we're having some tech difficulties. I don't know what happened. I posted an article like 20 minutes ago, and ever since then my internet's gone haywire for whatever reason. So I'm trying to fix that. In the meantime, you're stuck with me. DB won't be on for a while until we can get this thing fixed. But we're working on it. Anyway, yeah, make sure you guys check out our site, theantimedia.org. I just posted a story about the conflict in Israel and Palestine, all this stuff that's, you know, going on over there, and all this horrible atrocities that we're seeing going on. And, you know, if you look at the story I just posted, it said, those four Palestinian boys that were killed by the Israelis today, you paid for
that.
And you did. We did pay for that because, it's all, most of these weapons and most of these funds are coming out of our pockets. Hey, DB, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Got the Skype going with the phone. I was trying to call in, but I guess it wasn't going through. So good to go. Just had a headset malfunction because everything's made to break from China as usual. So,
oh, yeah, obviously. So I posted this article earlier, just like 20 minutes ago or so, and I finished it up just as I was getting ready to get started on putting all the final pieces together for the show tonight, and then about 10 minutes later, my internet absolutely goes haywire, and I haven't been able to get on with, two, three laptops here, we can't get on the internet,
wow.
Everything seems to be working, it says that it's connected, it says SSL connection error whenever I try to go to any website, so I don't know, that's probably not a good thing, I doubt it has anything to do with that article. But you never know. I mean, we got police. There was a Salinas Police Department posted a rebuttal to our link yesterday because we posted an article about how they've killed four people. The Salinas Police Department has killed four people since, I believe it's March. You know, four unarmed people. So we're talking about this absolute police state, and then on their Facebook page they posted something about how they're doing some kind of outreach to the community. Somebody on the thread posted a link to our article from the anti-media, and then apparently these guys were commenting on it. So I mean, we've got police and all these guys reading our blogs at the very least. I mean, the NSA, who knows? Just to see what we're putting out there, man, because a lot of this stuff that we put out, sometimes it gets picked up by these big pages like CopBlock and all that stuff, and a lot of people read it. So I guess they're trying to find out. We've seen all these studies that have been going on that have been recently admitted from the government, and then, of course, that Facebook one that everybody was all upset about. So, yes, there are government agents out there toiling in with our articles and with our Facebook pages, and they're on your Twitter feed. You're probably being followed by some literally right now.
Yep. They're running huge co-intel sites, too. I mean, they're major personality-driven. And all you have to do is look at the backers and who they're associated with, and it's pretty obvious who is real and who's not, who's underground, who's toiling away, and you know, they're not in a high-rise. You know what I mean? When you get any kind of a big backer, corporate backing or what have you, even private donors of a sort, if it's a large contribution, you have to question it all. I know there's now a new news network out, OAN. I don't know if you've seen it, Nick, but it's purported to have zero corporate interests. How they're getting paid and how they're running, I haven't researched into yet. But, I mean, when you're seeing viewership drop by two-thirds in the last decade, you've already lost the next gen. The next generation doesn't watch TV, man. They just don't. They're on the internet. So the dinosaur media, they're quaking in their boots, and all these big time guys who are making huge salaries know their days are numbered.
Yeah, and that's all the more reason why there are these COINTELPRO sites and agents that are out there. And yes, there are paid secret agents on the internet reading your stuff. You know, they hijack forums, hijack threads, destroy groups, and you know, instigate divisions and all that stuff. That's what these guys do. And since the media, Yeah, and it's so damn obvious. And now that the media, the corporate media, I don't even like calling them mainstream anymore because they're not. The corporate media, since they lost the battle, now the government's going preemptive and they're moving into social media. You know, and that's just the way that the cookie crumbled, man. And the CIA has been heavy-handed in the media ever since, you know, day one. And to think otherwise, and now with all these recent revelations, it wasn't just Snowden. It was the other guy. I forget his name. It might have been Barrett Brown or one of these other guys that leaked other information about the sock puppets, the government sock puppets, and all that stuff. You know, so it is a real threat, and it is something that people need to be aware of. If they're you know, quote unquote people on your thread that always show this kind of divisive, you know, hijacking of threads and comments and stuff like that, then you know it's COINTELPRO, and it's not just one. They rove in packs. You know, there's going to be 15, 20, if need be, and they'll come and they'll like each other's comments, reply to each other's comments, hijack threads. That's the way these guys work.
And the best thing we can do would be to start some kind of database, some kind of website, to call out these usernames, these profiles, because guess what? Your credibility is pretty much going to be based on your ratings, the amount of posts you've made. Things that make you appear to be human will make you more credible. Well, guess what? If you call somebody out and kind of figure out that they're working in that way, their username gets on some kind of a database list, and you go on a forum and see, hey, so-and-so is obviously an agent. I mean, he shows up on this website. And obviously, we'd have to vet it independently, but things like this are pretty possible. And there's so many sleuths out there, so many amateur journalists, that something like that could really come into play, and it could really do a lot of good.
Exactly, man. What we need is kind of a Yelp of independent media, you know, so that we can kind of vet this stuff out. Because there's so many. Also, there's a lot of like satire sites. Like, what's that one? I think it's called the NationalReport.net. I mean, it's clearly satirical, and people take that and they share it, and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening, and they actually think that it's actually happening. You know, right. I mean...
Even Vice, which is, it's corporate, obviously, and the fact that they got their show canceled says a lot. But even Vice, they're so dry with it, the humor is so dry that you can't tell. And people will post these articles, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm like, that is actually supposed to be ironic. It went over your head. And it's getting to that kind of point now with online media. It's just kind of fascinating what's going on.
Yeah, man. So we definitely need a way to fact check all this stuff and to make keep people honest. And you know, there's so many of these sites that they are kind of, they take one little bit of information and then they blow it completely out of proportion. We see it happening with the conservative media down at the immigration rally, where they're trying to say that the people that attacked them were like these, you know, what do they say, they're like thugs or whatever, Raza thugs and stuff. And I met some of the people that were there that got that were in with the scuffle, and they're not La Raza thugs. They're women that are just activists. Okay, and they're peaceful.
They're agent provocateurs, what they are.
Yeah, man. And what's that guy? Pete Santilli. Pete Santilli, man. That guy was at Bundy Ranch and all that stuff. And this guy is a total pot stirrer. And he's one of the people that we definitely need to watch out for, because they'll take little bits of factual information and then spin it so many in such a huge way that it's no longer factual and then just purely agenda-driven stuff. And of course, we have an anti-establishment agenda, but at least we're not shilling for either party, you know. And that's where you know, and we're not stoking up these patriotic nationalistic fears and all that stuff. That stuff is not healthy. Nationalism and you know, this misplaced patriotism, basically, is not healthy, man. And it's very, very similar to what the Nazis went through. And it's really not a good sign. And to see these guys out there stoking up these fears at the border and in Marietta and whatever, I mean, it's not a good thing. And we should be doing what we can to try to prevent it, or, you know, at least debunk it or put a stop to it.
Right. I mean, we can embrace nationalism. Nobody's going to tell anybody that their culture doesn't deserve to be recognized, and you shouldn't be proud of your people, so to speak, or your tribe. But you know, we need to get past that, because it will be used in division. Understand, humanity first comes before any country, any arbitrary border, anything like that. We're all people. We all, you know, live and die the same. So we need to get past that. If you want to see a perfect divisionary tactic, something that's used under this cloud of, well, let's just say this cloud of sportsmanship and camaraderie, was the World Cup. What did it do to Brazil? The World Cup, which was supposed to use nationalism in the sense of brotherhood, pretty much gutted an infrastructure of a country that cannot afford to rebuild it. You now have probably a permanent population of nearly a million people with nowhere to go. Was that worth it? Was ruining a million people's lives worth having a World Cup? Can anybody say that in any honesty? So that's where you get these skewed tactics they use, and we gotta turn away from that.
Exactly, man. We gotta move away from it, dude. And I've even seen some leftist friends of mine that are probably going to vote Democrat in the coming elections that are actually talking about doing what's it called? Attack strike, man. Where they're talking about doing attack strike over all this foreign policy blundering and this issue that's going on in Gaza and Palestine with Israel. Because let's face it, man, Israel is our biggest benefactor of foreign aid. I mean, we give these guys like $3-4 billion a year, and that's what's on the books. That's not counting the black budgets and the covert ops and all that stuff, the spying, the assassinations of Iranian scientists and things like that. That's not even counting the cost of all that stuff. We give them $3 billion plus a year on the books, okay? And just think about it. We've been doing that since the 50s. And it's added up to a lot of money, a lot of weapons, and a lot of hubris on the side of the Israelis. Now, there's a lot of and people need to understand, it's not the Jews. A lot of the Jews, and believe me, me and my Jewish buddy went down to picket at this event where Netanyahu was supposed to show up. It was a Jewish conference down at the Civic Center here in San Diego. And a lot of the Jews that were there were saying, we agree with you guys. We don't like what's going on with the Palestinians. We don't condone that at all. We can't stand that that's happening.
If you have a heart, how could you? It's not a war at all. It's not a war because it's not two armies. It's an underground faction that's getting arms from maybe Iran and maybe us. Nobody really knows who really arms Hamas at all. They're a shadow organization, much like ISIS is, and they hide in a civilian population, shoot a few duds or whatever. Maybe I know one Israeli guy was finally killed by a rocket, and that's horrible, but what are we talking at now? I think we're in the 200s now for civilians, because it's a densely populated area. Now, do you go in with airstrikes? What do? They hit rocket sites and whatever, and you kill some guys, but you kill a whole bunch of civilians. And then you go in with tanks, and you go in with soldiers, and you occupy them, and you cut the land down even more, and you take over more and bulldoze it and make more Jewish settlements, and eventually wipe 2 million people out or absorb them or whatever they do. But what under... going to be Israeli. And they just, there's just nowhere for them to be. They have no water.
Okay, finally back on. Looks like we got our stuff working again here, at least for the time being. So let's see if we can hold this on. I'm going to try to get DB back on the line here. And I know there was a caller trying to call in. You can call in now. I can bring you in if you want to talk about what's going on. I'm ready for you. So let me see if I can get DB back on here, and then we'll be good to go. All right, looks like he'll be back in here in a few seconds, and then we're going to have another caller that's going to, I think the other caller should be calling back here any second now, we'll see. So, you know, I mentioned it a bit ago, we're funding this slaughter of the Israelis, and there's no getting around that. Many of the Jews down in Israel do not condone what's going on. They are completely against what's going on. A lot of the Jews here and around the world are against what's going on. And they understand that the government there is just like the government here. It does not represent. It's more of a fascist, more of an oligarchy than it is a democracy. And I do not think that the people of Israel would are liking the fact that their bombs and their money are being spent blowing people up and creating this situation which is causing blowback all around the world in the form of anti-Semitism that's popping up. For instance, at the place down in France where there was this huge anti-Semitic event that took place, and they tried to storm the one of the buildings there that was run by the Israeli government or whatever. I mean, they're creating this situation where one, they are they're creating blowback right there on their borders where people are going to forever be angry at them because they killed their families. And then all around the world where they're creating this anti-Semitic situation, it'll drive more and more people to have to go back to Israel to escape the anti-Semitism. But when they get back to Israel, they got all this stuff blowing up at the border. So it's absolutely a horrible situation no matter which way you cut it. You know, so, I mean, it's just... you know, it's just one of these things where it's a complete paradox. It's a complete backwards situation, you know. And I mean, there's got to be a way to fix it. We got to figure out a way to fix it. But sooner or later, it's going to come back and bite us, just like it's doing right now in Iraq. And now we can't forget. Every time you go to the store, every time you go shopping, every time you get your paycheck, every time you file taxes at the end of the year, your money is going to do things in which you have absolutely no control over. For one, it's going to be doing what's happening right now. It's going to be doing what's, it's going to be, your money is going to be taken and used for what's going on in Israel. Now your money is also going to be taken, and it's going to be used by your own government to spy on you through the NSA. So your own government's going to be spying on you with your money through the NSA. And then they're going to be taking your money and bombing people out in the Middle East, which is going to cause these people to get angry at us and cause them to come back and try to hurt us. And it's going to bankrupt the country all at once. And for the most part, these guys are just sitting back and getting away with this stuff. I mean, I just can't believe it.
Yep. I mean, because people don't want to believe that people they grew up with that are the politicians that are supposedly normal Americans but are really probably clinically psychopathic are behind these things that are making the entire world unstable and keeping the system afloat, the system that needs to come down and something a lot more benevolent come up to replace it, something like we always talk about where everybody's going to be like, listen, we get it. We're all competing, but we shouldn't be competing for things we all need. We should be cooperating for those and only really competing for these luxury type items. And that's about it.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I guess the big question here is, and like I was saying earlier, even my Democratic friends are thinking about tax striking. Okay. That's one option. But what else can we do, man? What can we do to put an end to this? What can we do to have the same rights as freaking Hobby Lobby where they get to decide where their tax monies go? Because don't forget, Obamacare is a tax, right? So if Obamacare is a tax and Hobby Lobby gets to say where their Obamacare money gets spent, then that means they're deciding how their tax money is spent. And guess what? We don't have that same right. And that's absolutely wrong. If we're going to be taxed, at the very least, we should be able to decide where that money gets to go. I mean, it's completely wrong.
Exactly. It's and Hobby Lobby opened a Pandora's box, honestly, for companies because they may be able to dictate how they can provide a policy to their own employees, but then that's only going to open up a lawsuit for individual people to say, listen, if corporations are people, then as a person, I'm a corporation, and I should be allowed to choose and tailor my own healthcare plan according to what I want and need. And then we're going to be able to group fund things, do silly stuff like Groupon for the People's San Diego Healthcare Association and sell memberships, and we're going to all buy policies en masse. It's going to open up a whole new door these guys never even thought of. And that's the beauty of when these overzealous politicians write 1,100-page documents, they leave loopholes aplenty, and our new generation with the internet, will be able to kind of take advantage of those things.
It's on us, man. It really is. Because guess what? Oh, yeah. The older people, I don't want to say they failed us, but they did. And I don't blame it on them, but they were just brainwashed, man. And they got really bad brainwashing because all they had for almost their whole lives was TV. And guess what? The TV is a highly centralized form of information. And guess what? Centralizing anything, it leads to bad outcomes. And that's exactly what happened to our parents.
And not only that, but TV waves from the actual TV you're watching put your mind into a beta state where you're susceptible. You're almost in a semi-hypnotic state, which is why marketing for TV goes for $500,000 for 30 seconds because it works fantastic. You're already in a mindset to receive.
Yeah, I mean, yes. So now that we have this opportunity called the internet, it's on us. You know, so we've got this decentralized form of communication, this decentralized form of information. It's up to us because our parents really didn't have that capability. I mean, they think about the 60s and what they pulled off back then with the anti-war movement. That's because the TV was so new, they actually showed real clips from Vietnam without editing them out and adding the propaganda. And then they realized, oh, damn, we don't want this. We got to start, you know, taking advantage of this news and start infiltrating it. And make sure that it lines up with the government agenda. So, you know, after the 60s, they realized, okay, we can't do that. You know, so they went and clamped down and they put all their, you know, handlers in charge of the media and all that stuff. And now they're trying to do the same thing with the internet, but the internet is a whole different beast. You can't with the internet, you can either shut it down or not. You know, you can't sit there and just try to censor here and there because China's trying to do that and they're not doing a very good job. Dudes are finding a way around China's firewall every single day.
They're training their own. China's is funding its own demise as well because their own hacker army is going to hack themselves out of their firewall, and that's what's going on right now. And we're seeding that. You know, clandestine operations to try to get them to have their own little revolution over there, because young people there, man, they want it all, man. They want everything. They want to be middle class. They want to be able to work and get nice stuff. And that's not conducive to an overbearing, draconian government. It's what's going on here right now, and the middle class is becoming a gutted, ancient relic, but it's very important. A country with no middle class is a country with no future, and that's always been the way it is. If a country doesn't have a middle class, it means it's going to be broken up soon. It goes without saying, if you look back at history, that's what's happened. You know, so it makes a lot of sense that ours is going the way of the dodo, and so is our country.
Yeah, man, now down at the root, okay, so one is the propaganda, and we're talking about, okay, how do we get out of having, of funding this kind of apartheid and this kind of genocide and this kind of terrible foreign policy that we're conducting all over the world, and we'll jump into that too, because we can't forget about the other people that we're screwing over right now. But other than other than spreading information and tax striking, you know, we got to start figuring out other ways to to get away from this, man, and get control back of our government, because right now everything they're doing, they're misrepresenting us. They're not representing us at all. I mean, if anything, they're only representing the very, very rich corporate oligarch class that basically owns 99% of everything in this country, you know, and right. Literally, are just the older people, man, and all they got is this TV crap, and they still watch. They're the only demographic that still watches TV. I mean, there was some stats that came out about the people that watch Fox News, and the median age for a guy that watches Fox News is 68 years old. I mean, these are the older crowd. Wow. These are the retired crowd, and these are the guys that are voting, and these are the guys that are so brainwashed that they just do whatever the hell the TV tells them to do, you know? So, you know, it's up to the youth to really make the difference here. And there was some encouraging info I got off this. I went on this news app. It's like a citizen journalism app called VOOZ. It's like news with a V. It's an app. You guys should look it up. It's basically like kind of like Twitter, but it's for news. And the only way you can report on something is if you're actually at the place. You could take a picture, and it has like a geo-tagging thing, so it tags the location or whatever. But nice. I found a post in this app about these guys, a protest that was going on over in Israel in support of the draft resistors. So in Israel, they got these dudes that are Israeli Jews that in Israel, they have a conscription military system where everyone is forced to join up and train. Years. And then, yeah. And then they call you up for a draft every couple years, whenever this thing flares up with the Palestinians. And there's a bunch of guys apparently down in Israel now that are resisting the draft, and they're just saying, you know what, screw you guys, I'd rather go to prison, I'd rather you throw me in jail than to send me out to these unjust wars, you know. Right. And that's another side of this whole thing that we need to keep in mind, man, is we need to make better allies out of our military brothers and sisters, and even if we can find some decent people in law enforcement and stuff, like the Oath Keepers. I mean, the Oath Keepers are a decent example. I mean, they are kind of right-wing and stuff. But these are the kind of people that we really need to try to work on and try to get military people that are more like anti-intervention. Right. Yeah, they sign up to defend the homeland, but now they're being sent off to do all these dumb things. Now, if you remember back during the 2012 presidential election, a lot of Ron Paul, which is very anti-intervention, anti-war, he got the majority of the funding, the majority of the donations from the military. He got more money than Obama got. Yes. And he got more money than all the Republicans combined. So you got to remember, we got to think about it. There are a lot of people in the military that are anti-intervention.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is read Veterans Today, man. Just read Veterans Today. There's so many people that'll cross-reference different forums of veterans and what their mindset is and what's going on right now within our own country, and how at least, if not more, half of the people the sentiments are with us, that the people that are waking up and realizing, you know, something that has been working really well for a long time is in danger of collapsing, and we have to fix it, and fix it permanently, and fix it forever. Get this military-industrial complex to turn swords into plowshares. A lot of the people in the military are saying, if we took our money and technology and flipped it around and just used our know-how and our technological superiority to simply feed the rest of the world on our level and just share even just agricultural technology, wars are over, man. The wars are only about resources, and that's it. That's it. And we can get rid of all of the depletion and all of the scarcity of all the resources people need. I'm not talking about we can all drive Escalades, but we can all have food. We can have electric scooters. We can do all these things. But we got to make sure that the people with the tech, we just got to demand it. It'd be just like if the police department, we demanded to see the records. We want open records of every single officer in there now to make sure they're qualified for our new standards we're going to impose on you. Which is, whatever, we'll come up with something arbitrary. We can even come up with, you need a college degree, and everyone that doesn't have one needs to come up for review if they're a police officer. That would get rid of a lot of these bad apple guys. I mean, simple things like that could work.
Yeah, man, I mean, think about it, how backwards the policy is now. There was a court ruling that said that police can be... the police departments can discriminate against hiring anyone that's too smart, because they say because they claim that, oh well, the smart guys, they turn over too quickly. We don't want to invest all this money in training them when they're going to just quit after a couple years because they get bored. Well, I mean, that's an easy excuse. Let's face the truth here. They don't hire smart cops because they want dumb idiots that are just going to follow orders. They don't want people that are actually going to think reasonably and say, hey, that's not the right thing to do. Maybe we
shouldn't. That's fine. If that's their argument, if that's seriously their argument, then I'll just come back and say this. I'll go ahead and give you that. I'll accept that caveat. But we need to disarm them because they're not intelligent enough to have lethal weaponry. I'm sorry. And then you can have higher standards for SWAT, like ex-military with training, with intelligence, that can come in with the real guns. These guys should have pepper spray and some handcuffs, and that's about it.
Yeah, man. Anybody above the petty cop that just is a patrol guy should be at least college educated and, you know, highly skilled and highly mentally stable, you know, and logical.
Why does record collection have arms? Why do people that don't actually really patrol and prevent crime too much anymore? I mean, these guys are walking billboards. They're revenue collection. Why are they armed? Why is the IRS getting bullets? Why is the Postal Service getting AK-47s? Why are they arming everybody for everything? But while we have power, why are these guys armed? Disarm these guys now, just like the UK.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just a totally backwards policy, just like almost everything else. Now, before we move on here, we got to get into these topics that we can't forget about, because just because they're pushed back from the headlines, doesn't mean that it's not newsworthy. Because now that the media has this Israel thing, and now they're basically completely biased in favor of the Israelis. Now, even what was it? ABC News aired footage that was like just a completely blown out building, and then a guy carrying a kid away, and then like an old lady crying, and they were like saying that it was the Israelis that were the ones that had just got bombed, but in actuality it was pictures of the Palestinians that had just gotten bombed. Now a day later they went out and put an apology on Facebook, and they said, oops, sorry guys, it was an accident. Well, come on. Again, it's one of these things that's it's easy to get out of it that way. But let's face it, they put it on TV in front of all those people to make some kind of emotional reaction. And then they go on Facebook a day later and make a, oh, oops, sorry, and they didn't even really apologize. They just said, oh, we're going to correct it. So, I mean, the blatant propaganda is out there. So that's the one thing we got to keep in mind. But here's the other thing. Not only are we paying for the destruction of the Palestinians, but we can't forget about what's going on in Ukraine. We sent those guys a couple billion dollars. And then we're still propping up these guys over in Syria. Obama just asked for another $500 million to send to these guys.
Right.
Now, in Syria, there's been...
The craziest thing is people have been trying to research ISIS, and they found out that they have offices in the U.S. and Europe, and I'm talking about these things have been set up for a while. This group isn't new, dude. It's just they've come to the attention now, and they're the latest scapegoat. They're the new IT group. They're the new Al-Qaeda, whatever you want to call them. But they have nuclear arms. They have $2 billion, $3 billion at least in their coffers. The caliphate could be an actuality, really. And we may just let it happen because, well, it's got a grander strategic value to it.
Yeah, the powers that be, just like, what's his name, Dick Cheney predicted that it would be a split Iraqi country, split into three parts. If we can focus all the Iraqi energy on fighting each other, those three different factions, just like they have been ever since we went in there, which kind of makes it seem like that's kind of what we were planning on them doing anyway, because before we knocked out Saddam, there was hardly any sectarian violence there, and we know for a fact there was no Al-Qaeda and no terrorist groups openly active in Iraq before we went in there. So these guys didn't get in until we went in there, you know, and so we got to remember that as well. So if we can get them divide and conquer, them fighting themselves, then we can go in and just continue to extracting the resources, you know, and it's just kind of the playbook that we've been doing all this time.
Yes, it's really all it is. It's just that simple. It's economic hitman, and then it's just if that fails, we go in with what we got, which is the hammer. But it's going to be at a point where if we don't all come together, these governments everywhere around the world are going to lead us down a path we don't want to go, which is the next world war, because it's just going to be, you can't even fathom it. If World War II was so bad, imagine what they've cooked up in 7 decades.
Yeah, man. I mean, now there's the ability is there. First time, it's the first time in a world war that the ability will be there to actually wipe out everybody on the earth.
Most people. You know? I mean, the elites will think they're safe, but I mean, they'll probably get hit first. There'll be a small percentage that'll just dumb luck make it or wherever if they're in remote places, but you're talking about some of these weapons, man. I've been reading up on them. I mean, they don't know how to turn off some of these things. These nanobots. There's all kinds of theories about how they may not stop. They may just replicate and kill all life on Earth. There's all kinds of stuff, man. The mechanized dust nanobot swarms are beyond freaky. It's the stuff that was in one of the old 50s movies where the entire world just got swallowed up by these little mini micro machines. So you don't want to open these things. Eventually they'll probably be used one way or another. Maybe they've been testing them out in these proxy wars, but the stuff now, it's mind blowing. It's not even, it's nothing you can even think of hardly. You can't even imagine what they can do.
Yeah. I mean, the weapons now are just completely, completely, like, we don't even have a clue. I mean, the crap they show us on the military channel, history channel, all that stuff, it's years and years behind what's actually going on. We know that they had been trying to weaponize tsunamis back during World War II. There was testing done down in New Zealand by the U.S. government. I wouldn't doubt that that was carried on. They've been, since the dawn of man, of civilization, men have been trying to predict weather, and then they got to the point where they can start to try to control weather, and so there's no doubt in my mind that weather is becoming mechanized and weaponized and stuff like that. And then all the weapons of mass destruction, the biological weapons, the chemical weapons and stuff, it's not a pretty picture. Right. And I'll tell you what, the more and more I sit back and think about why all this stuff is all, you know, why all these places are boiling over now and why it's all popping off right now. And it's because, man, they know that the people are getting damn tired of them and their oligarchs, and we're getting tired of being ruled by 0.001% of the population, and now they're pulling out all the stops to throw us into disarray and to eat up all of our resources, even if it means World War III, just to retain their petty-ass power.
which amounts to a hill of beans, because do they ever want to leave this planet? Are we ever going to evolve past being these hairless, upright apes? Because that's what we act like with this pettiness. We should be off planet already. We should be colonizing. If people have differences, they can have their own world. We should be spreading out, man, because even though humanity can be extremely ugly and evil, on the complete opposite, we can be beautiful and pure and good. So, yeah, there are some people that deserve, a lot of people that deserve to spread out and kind of make their own utopias. And when we let these clowns, and let's call them clowns, because space travel has probably been possible for millions, if not billions of years, and we're still stuck here. These guys have just led us astray for the last 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years. We've been stuck doing what? Doing what? How many ages of man have there been? How many Atlantises have there been that have been destroyed? How many, you know, times are we going to have to redo things? And it's just getting tiring.
Yeah, it is. It's getting redundant, man. And that's why we got to start thinking about, we got to think way outside the box here, bro. Because that's all we got in our advantage. Our ideas, masses of people, and open source technology, right? So basically, we got people, we got a gene pool to pull from where we inevitably have a bunch of smart dudes that are oppressed, that are somewhere lurking, maybe in their mom's basement, maybe in the desert in Africa, that are absolutely
maybe
geniuses,
working
that
for
are
a
just,
big company.
Yeah, and they're just waiting to be discovered or waiting to find their true potential, and as if we can keep on moving in this decentralized information age in the right direction where we keep it decentralized, like many are fighting for, many at least that understand the internet are fighting for, the corporations, of course, are going to try to control it because they understand it's a huge means of money making, and the governments are going to try to control it because they understand it's a huge means of control. But the counterculture, the underculture, the underbelly of the internet, everybody is working for decentralization. Everybody is working for freedom of the internet. Think of all the people that use BitTorrents to download movies. Think of all the people at Pirate Bay. Think of all the people that use Bitcoin and all the hackers and all that stuff. These are all people that are working towards, you know, decentralization, freedom of information. Aaron Schwartz, you know, these kind of people. These are the smartest people in the world, man, and they're on our side. And that's a good thing.
Right.
And now the only thing that these corporations can do is try to buy them out. They can try to co-opt them. But guess what? Once you get co-opted, let's say for instance, of course this didn't really happen to Aaron Schwartz, but let's just say a guy like Aaron Schwartz gets bought out by Google, and Google said, "Hey, bro, you're gonna come work for us." Well, guess what, dude? His organic drive, his organic, you know, that underlying want for providing free information that he had, that he once had. It's going to, you know, it'll either fade away or go away once he goes to work for one of these big, you know, corporate America tech giants, you know, because it's exactly what it is. It's corporate America. And corporate America is dysfunctional.
It's
bureaucratic and all that.
It sucks the soul out of you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, this is where we're at. We're at a crossroads where there's a segment of people at the top that are, it's come down to a philosophical fork in the road. Does it behoove those at the top to continue with our slave model system, or should we try to see if the masses of the people of the earth are ready to evolve into a self-governance type of society where you can hit your absolute potential? Are we ready to get away with our greed and avarice and just ensure that everyone will be taken care of with their basic necessities at the expense of our own egos? Can we do it? Can me and you, even Nick, not take cars? Can we take buses or maybe even electric bikes or whatever? Can we scale our lifestyles down so that everybody can come up? Are we willing to do that? I think me and you are obviously in the boat of hell yeah, because we know what it'll prevent, which is war forever. We'll never have another war again if everybody's all right, right? That's all it's about. That's all it's ever about. That's all crime's ever about. All the evil of the world is just because of greed, mostly, unless there's some crazy people, and there are some of those. But we're at the understanding at this point where we know that the technology, that if it was not suppressed, would provide everyone with enough, and all these problems would be gone. If you believe that, then you know that we got to change things, and we got to do it this generation, because if we let these guys keep going, there might not be anything left.
Well, yeah, man, and like you were saying, the technology will set us free. And in the future, in maybe 10 to 20 years, anybody could have a nice car. All you got to do is 3D print it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
3D print it and run it off the sun.
And then if this Tesla model, okay, now you heard about the news today that Tesla, the new Tesla car is coming out, man, and it's only going to be $35,000.
Right.
Now you got to think about this. When you buy a Tesla car, you get free energy, you get free fuel for life as long as you go to one of these Tesla refueling centers. Yes. So you know, a $35,000 car would pay off big time if you consider the gas prices and stuff. So that's a very, very, in my opinion, that's a very positive, development. Now, the other thing, we got to remember what Tesla, the company, did, what was it, a week or two ago, where they said, hey, guess what? All of our patents are now open source, and anybody can reproduce our charging systems. Anybody can reproduce, any patents that we have. You know, so these charging systems are going to start popping up all over the place, and cars that are maybe converted. In the future, cars that are 3D printed will be able to tap into these charging systems. If we get enough of these charging systems that run on solar, we're looking at basically free energy. Now, I did this story for this site called The Mind Unleashed. I'm sure you guys have heard about it on Facebook. It's one of the biggest Facebook pages and stuff. But I did the story for them a week ago about how in Queensland, down in Australia, wholesale electricity prices dipped down below zero for a few days in a row. And then a few months ago in Germany, retail electric prices dipped below zero for a couple hours. For a couple days back a couple months ago. Okay, so we're talking about this technology, and it's already happening. It's taking place in Europe. It's taking place in Australia because, you know, Australia gets tons of sunlight just like we do here in Southern California. Now, we should be looking at that and saying, hey, that's a model. Exactly. We need to look at that and say that's a model that we want to start replicating, not fracking.
And that's only solar with no wind, with no hydro, which is basically making power out of waves both at the surface, at shelves, and under the water at the ocean floor. And that's also without Tesla's electromagnetic stratosphere, which they're starting to build those towers too. So you're starting to see that just with sun, we can pay for everybody's electricity. So imagine if we quadruple it or quintuple it and have five or six or seven renewable options. Imagine if we have what's using the core of the heat, which is thermodynamic power, which could heat every home in the world for free forever. This whole prison system is breaking down now because people know what's up. Why should we pay for things we don't need to anymore? And once we don't need to pay for certain things, we don't need any of the system anymore at all.
And what is the supposedly scarcest resource in the world? Energy.
Energy.
And as long as we can get everybody, if everybody can get energy and we can get everybody access to the internet, then these people can start getting 3D printers. All they got to do is go down, collect recycled bottles, and start feeding recycled plastic bottles into this machine, and they could print themselves a house, they could print themselves a car, they can print themselves an aquaponic system, they can print themselves a greenhouse. I mean, you name it, dude. And then when we talk about having an excess of energy, like what happened down in Queensland, down in Australia, when energy is that cheap, then guess what? It starts to become feasible to start extracting water out of thin air, and you start condensing the moisture out of the air, and you can get water anywhere in the world with that kind of, you know, doing that kind of technology. And yeah, it is electricity intensive, but if electricity is that available, then it would be a thing that anybody could do anywhere.
Sure. You could have a completely closed loop ecosystem provided you had everything set up right now for free perpetually, and it's totally sustainable. And what that means is that you don't need to go to work ever again. You don't need to. Everything you'll be doing for the dollar bills, for the Federal Reserve note, that you'll inevitably, I hope, transfer into silver and then use to pay your bills for things that you don't need but want, that's the future. Everything you need, you take care of it. It's done already. Your tech takes care of you, and everything you want, you go to work for it. That's the future.
Exactly, man. Even that one of the Google guys, and of course Google is one of these huge corporations, but they do have some smart people working for them and stuff. One of their executives was saying, these machines are going to alleviate a lot of the manual labor. People are just not going to have to work that much anymore once these machines start doing a lot of the menial, manual labor and stuff, the kind of data, the kind of stuff that doesn't need thinking to do. And then people are going to have a lot more time to do stuff they like. Now, that scares the hell out of the government. Okay, so they're going to try to use this technology revolution to use it as another control grid on us. And now we can't let that happen.
Right.
Which is why we have to continue to support and continue to innovate with this open source technology and patentless technology and keep coming up with ideas. And instead of trying to monopolize on them and just make a fortune on them, put them out there to the world so that everybody can use it and anyone can download it.
It needs to be done preemptively prior to the economic collapse, which I know that's hoping a lot, because if we get enough people and then when people are like, oh, there's no food, oh, I'm going to go, I'm stressing out, and people can show them how to grow, it'll take a season. They may need to go get food from some other source or whatever. But in the long run, when people realize that this whole house of cards is not going to support them when things get really tough, just like Katrina and just like any other FEMA disaster, they will go back to being self-sufficient and they'll do it the high-tech way and everything will be all good.
So let's think about this real quick, man, because I think we had a very productive discussion here tonight, dude. Most of the conflict in the world today, even though it's blamed on religious things and, all these other things, most of it stems from economic insecurity, right?
Yep.
And where does an economy come from? Well, the only way you can have an economy is by having agriculture first. Agriculture is the basis to any economy. If you want to look back at history, go look at the Egyptian civilization. Go look at Mesopotamia. Go look at the ancient Indian civilizations. Go look at the ancient Native American civilizations that first learned how to cultivate crops. That is where the big civilizations formed, is when they learned how to cultivate food. Okay, and that is the basis of any economy, is do people have food and water? Because if they do, then there can be economy. If not, then everyone's got to be nomadic. Okay, so the basis of our economy is agricultural. Okay, now with these new developments in technology, as long as people have enough electricity, they can create agriculture because they can create water. Water is needed for agriculture. Okay, right. And back in the day, now with the Egyptians, the way they did it was by predicting the seasons, predicting the flooding of the Nile and all that stuff. We don't need to do that no more because now we can create water out of thin air as long as we got electricity. Okay?
There you go.
So in the end, I think the strongest way to start preventing all these wars, and then eventually it's going to make all this government irrelevant. It's going to make them pointless. No one's even going to want to support them anymore. No one's even going to want to pay them. Even the most loyal Democrat is not going to want to pay them anymore. Even the most loyal Republican is not going to want to have them try to police our sexual lives anymore. If we can get a decentralization of our energy, and with that, we can create world economy, we can alleviate poverty, we can alleviate war, we can alleviate hunger, and all the stuff that is a symptom of economic insecurity.
We got to co-op the global energy grid.
Exactly. Thank you guys for tuning in. Catch you on Friday with LeVon. We go through the stereo.